Cheers.
Time for the weekend kickoff with Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Ballpark Frank, and Big T Terrence. Start your weekend off with all the news on the gridiron, in the cage, and the ring, and anywhere else that sports is happening. The weekend kickoff is brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, number one for all your nutrition and supplement needs, with multiple locations around the valley to serve you better. Now, here are the guys to kick off your weekend on ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM.
And good Saturday. Welcome in Veterans Day weekend. Thanks to all the vets out there. It is the weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. Once again, Ballpark Frank Harnish, Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Big T Terrence. Well, he's out busy wheeling and dealing once again. I know his stores are a lot healthier than his football team right now, but hey, my team sucks, so I can take shots at other teams as well.
And good job, Frank. And I gotta say, for a weekend that I'm pretty excited going into the NFL weekend tomorrow. My Saints, they're back at 500. They got a tough game against Denver, but it's a game I see them winning. They're on a two game win streak. I'm very, very excited. But
what?
Forget football today.
Okay, good.
Forget football.
All right.
I can't believe I'm saying it, but forget football.
I'm down. I'm down with that.
It is all about UFC 205 tonight, the biggest fight
we
card
give 1 minute.
In history.
Let's just give 1 minute to the fight last night. Just a minute, real quick.
Okay, know, okay. I'll give you 1 minute, you know, to the fight last night.
That was sensational yesterday. Can I say last night?
Last night. It did air last night, yeah. But it actually took place Thursday night in Israel.
We're talking, of course, of the Bellator fights. Douglas Lima reclaimed his world title by a vicious knockout.
Vicious knockout. And that's the first time. Well, Karshkov has been defeated before. He lost to Ben Askren about 6 fights ago, has been on a tear since then.
Yes.
Now, in the Askren fight, he did lose by TKO, and I think it was in the 5th round. It was just 5 rounds of a beatdown, and he just gave up at the end. But this was the first time that he's straight up been stopped by punch. I mean, he was knocked cold.
K-T-F-O.
Brutal,
yes, he was.
brutal knockout by Douglas Lima. Now, yes, he is again the welterweight champion. Last week, we saw in Bellator Phil Davis become the new heavyweight champion.
I'm trying to forget that fight.
Next week, we've got Michael Chandler and Ben Henderson for the lightweight title.
Benson's in trouble, I'm here to tell you.
I'm telling you, I was not kidding when we talked about it being a November to remember, but let's be honest, it's all smack dab in the middle of the biggest fight card the UFC has ever put on. It is, we talked when UFC 200 came on, oh, Brock's coming back, whoa. All right. I said his name. Let's go there real quickly. John Jones, earlier this week, was officially stripped of his interim light heavyweight title because last week he had his little arbitration and his sit down. And even though they did prove that at UFC 200, when he did test positive for an estrogen blocker, I believe it was an aromatase inhibitor, he said it was from tainted supplements. And
tainted like Cialis or something like
yeah,
that.
Exactly. That's what it was. Actually, yes, that's what it was. It wasn't supplements. It was he took penis pills. That's what it was.
Yeah, he got a generic brand instead of the good stuff. And, well, you know, buyer beware. Isn't that the motto?
When it comes to your stuff, I don't think you should ever go generic. there's a lot weighing on this here.
Okay, but why are these the healthiest athletes in the world having to take these things? I don't understand how the correlation. I mean, didn't Anderson Silva say the same thing? You would think that they're a working machine, that they wouldn't need them, but. All right.
Hey, listen, not everybody's a stud like you, Armando.
Well, hey, I'm not in condition. They are either. So.
5 kids, my goodness.
from what I understand, some of them want to go for marathon sessions and things like that.
Oh, okay.
So I get that part of it. But you know what? If you're just trying to get some and you got no money and you have to go to the generic, John Jones doesn't have to get the cheap tainted stuff.
No, you're right.
I mean, come on, man.
But let's be honest. It's not the standard 2-year
suspension.
So he did only get one. So
he gets 1 year suspension now. So, but this is the first off. He's the only fighter ever to be stripped of a title twice. right? Seriously, how dumb do you gotta be? Really? Only fighter in history to be stripped of this title. Now, for anybody that forgets, remember that John Jones is by far, he's the best in the world. John Yes. Jones is the most talented, flawless fighter I've ever seen step into the cage. And then you look back, it was January of 2015. He absolutely dismantled Daniel Cormier, the current.
We were at that fight.
The current champion. He absolutely dismantled him. And then goes on a little bit of a binger, has a bit of an issue, and gets in a DUI where he hits a woman, she's pregnant, runs away. Everything ensues, which was hell for him, I'm sure. But he was given a suspension, stripped of the title, comes back, promises it's all over, I ain't going to be like that, then tests positive again, gets stripped again, now gone for another year. Now, this seriously is the biggest waste of talent I have ever seen.
Now, I've also heard some people saying, and this might be true or not true, but even after the year, because that's from USADA, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, the Nevada Athletic Commission could still say, no, you're still not fighting here for the 2-year. They can still uphold the 2-year if they want to.
Yes, they can.
So, there's no guarantee that he comes back at the 1-year mark.
Yeah, I don't know if John, and if I'm Dana White.
I'm wondering, why would they do that when they've proven that it was something tainted? I mean,
but it does, see, that's the thing.
I mean,
when it's and they did the same thing. Yoel Romero, he is fighting. It was proven that he had tainted supplements too, and they actually went so far as to send unopened bottles of the same product. So it wasn't like, you know, anybody had their chance on it. He had a tainted supplement. It was proven, but you gotta know what you're putting in your body.
Oh yeah,
you gotta know. And even if it doesn't say it on the label, you've got to do your research. I remember years ago, Chris Cyborg, coming into Vegas Discount Nutrition, and she bought a bottle of something. And I remember her asking me, can I take this? And I looked at her and I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what you can take. Well, you know, as far as I know, you can't take aspirin. So, I wouldn't. I don't know what's going to happen to you, but
I remember that.
I wouldn't.
I remember one time Uriah Faber was in here, had a cold, or he was sicker than a dog.
Oh, he was sick as a dog. He had the flu,
he told Frank he couldn't take anything.
Yeah, I asked him what he did for it. He said, I just have to try to sweat it out in the gym because I can't take anything because I don't know what's in everything. That's why I love it when people, and especially media members and the people on the street go, well, you wouldn't put something in your body that you don't know what it is. You don't know what the hell's in the meat or the vegetables or something you're buying at the grocery store with the pesticides and everything. I'm reading the backs of labels now and looking at some stuff and going, oh, my God, this stuff is all poison.
It is. It's absolutely. I mean, there 9 times out of the 10, you go to the grocery store and you look at the ingredients on a label and you can't pronounce most of the words on there. And that's bad. That is bad. So John Jones, again, out for a year. We won't be seeing him for a bit, stripped of the title.
How much money has he lost from all the fights that he hasn't had?
Goodness, I don't know. But like I said, this is just in my eyes, this is the biggest waste of talent that you're going to. And maybe it's everything came so fast. Remember, this guy was a UFC champion at 23 years old. This he came on and he was just, like, he surged onto the scene.
And literally a natural. Literally with training in a garage, like a story that seems like a Hollywood story that's too corny for Disney or something to do.
I remember the first time.
Watching YouTube videos.
Yeah, I remember the first time I read an article on him. It was after the Stephen Bonner fight. I remember that was his come-out fight. He had a fight before that, but that was in the UFC. That was his, you know, John Jones has arrived. That was the Joe Silva jumping up in the middle of the fight, watching John Jones at work. That's how excited. And when you get a guy like Joe Silva to jump out of his seat, you know you've done your job. This is a guy who's been around. We talked about Joe Silva. When Joe Silva resigned as the matchmaker, he was the guy that was still around from the SEG days. He has been involved with the UFC since UFC, I believe, 3 or 4, where he was writing in as a fan. Joe Silva was a fan of this sport and would write letters to guys like Barry Meyerowitz, Campbell McLaren. These were the original owners and producers of the UFC, and talk to them about what they should do for their fights, how to make them more interesting, who you should match up. This was a guy who knew fights. And when you have him jumping out of his seat for what you're doing, you know you've arrived.
Was that like his moment, kind of like Anderson Silva against Chris Leben way back in the day or whatever, when he came in? And people were like, oh, Leben's taking on this Anderson Silva guy. He's supposed to be pretty good. And everyone, oh, damn, no, he's not just pretty good. We got to watch this guy.
Yeah, Anderson Silva, I remember that first fight against Chris Leben. 100% strikes landed. Only time that's ever happened in a fight, I believe, except for like the Conor McGregor 13-second
Jose Aldo. Yeah. So yeah, if you only throw one and you land it,
so you got 100% there.
No, I remember back then when everybody was putting running to put money on Leben that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was. There's no way that this guy's gonna beat Chris Leben. There's no way this. We don't even know who he is. And then you got trainers telling us,
Joe Rogan that day. I remember Rogan that day saying, listen, if you have not seen Anderson Silva, you are about to see a striker on an absolute another level than everyone else. And he wasn't lying, and we obviously know what happened there.
And fighting a southpaw did not seem to hinder his performance whatsoever.
No. It's the penis pills that seem to hinder his performance, like Mr. Jones. But let's get back into 205 real quickly. UFC 205. Armando has been busting my chops this week a lot.
As I always do.
On Monday, I said, can you believe this? We are just a week away.
It's his fault, Frank.
Frank, we are just a week away from this event, and there's no fights pulled out. Everything's going down.
No.
Why did you say that?
That's like being in the press box at a baseball game going, boy, this game's moving right along.
Right? Yeah.
Six pitching changes.
Oh, look, he's got a no-hitter going into, there you go.
I think it was
field.
A Tuesday. Well, what day did they call Rashad's fight?
Well, so that's the thing. Yeah, Rashad Evans didn't clear medicals. So his fight with Tim Kennedy has been pulled. And then, of course, yesterday, it really hit the fan. We definitely lost one fight. We may lose another, depending on if Thiago Alves can keep his weight. He missed weight by a bit. He's got a New York law requires that you have to be within 5 pounds. So today, when he fights Jim Miller, or this morning when he weighs in, he cannot be more than 160.
I thought it was 175.
173. That's what it says on UFC.com. Yeah.
173. So it's a catch weight, but he can't be more than 173. So, but also, Kelvin Gastelum missed weight by 10 pounds. 10 pounds he missed weight. In fact, actually, we don't even know if it was 10 pounds.
We assume it was
10 pounds. He never even got on the scale. Now, this is the third time. The third time in Kelvin Gastelum's very short UFC career, he's only been around about 3 years, that he's missed weight. Ultimate Fighter with Uriah Hall. That was about 3-4 years ago.
How long have you been in Vegas?
5 years.
That was the first year that you were here?
Wasn't the first year, was it? No, the very first year that I was here, the very first tough, was the Ultimate Fighter with, it was Bisping and the other, who was his, CB Galloway? Mayhem. That's right. Yeah, Mayhem. So that was my first year. Okay. So that was the Ultimate Fighter, I think, season 14. These guys weren't until 18. So, yeah, I mean, they all blend together.
Speaking of crazy people, you had to bring in Mayhem Miller.
Right?
Man, I used to really like that guy.
Talk about it. That's a guy. Crazy. Anyway, but what do we do about guys like Kelvin Gastelum? I mean, last week we had Charles Oliveira for his fourth time missing weight. Guys like John Lineker, 5 times missed weight. Is a fine enough anymore? Because I'm thinking these guys,
they bumped it up 10%.
Take 20 to 30% of my purse. I don't care because I'm going to go in there fresher. I'm not going to have this weight cut issue, and I'm going to be fine.
You know, in other sports, for steroid use or something like that, there's the initial fine, then it goes up and up and up. If 20% still isn't making them do it, maybe it needs a sliding scale. Maybe the first time you're over, it's 20, then it's 30, then it's 40, then keep on bringing it up.
What about cutting them?
Well, I mean, that's certainly...
After two or three times, listen.
It's a viable option.
Anthony Rumble Johnson was the same for a while.
And what happened? And he got cut. And he learned his lesson. He came back at a different weight. And look, Anthony Johnson's fighting for the UFC light heavyweight title next month.
Or how?
And he used to fight at 170.
He used to fight at 170.
So he learned his lesson. 170, not a weight I can make. So let's go for light heavyweight. He didn't even bother at middleweight. No. Forget middleweight.
What if you just said after the second time you miss it, it's like, okay, you are not allowed to fight at this weight anymore. You have to go up to the next weight
class. Well, they tried that already.
Well, that's what Dana said to Gastelum. Dana said to Gastelum, he said yesterday about Gastelum that he'll never allow him to fight at welterweight again. Remember, Gastelum was on the Ultimate Fighter as a middleweight.
Yeah.
So that was his original weight, and that's what I think he should have stayed at. Obviously, he's having a major trouble getting to 170, and I don't think they should allow it. But why? Just like we talked about it with John Jones at UFC 200, when a guy has that much history, that much baggage, you're going to rely? You're gonna rely on him to do what he's supposed to do to save your event? Like, how does the UFC have John Jones headline UFC 200 knowing what could possibly happen? How do you have Kelvin Gastelum, a guy who has repeatedly not made weight, and you put him on your biggest fight card ever?
Against one of the
against a guy that you know everybody wants to see fight.
Yes.
I think there's got to be more than just taking away your purse or part of your money. I think you've got to either a suspension or they let you go for a little bit. Work your way back. Prove that you're a professional. Because that's the thing. It's about being a professional. You signed a contract to come in and fight somebody. It's not just about the fight. You have to make the contracted weight. And if you're not doing that, you're not living up to your contract. You're not fulfilling your contract obligations of making weight on a certain date and fighting. And now you've deprived the fans of watching what I think would have been an outstanding fight.
Oh, no, I agree.
Now, is his opponent, is he still going to get paid? Because I know sometimes Dana does that.
Cowboy had to step on the scale yesterday, as did Tim Kennedy. They both had to weigh in just so that they can get their show money.
Okay.
So they're getting their show money, and apparently now it's not 100% yet, but they are looking to book Cowboy Cerrone in December, UFC 206
in Toronto,
same card with with Daniel Cormier and Anthony Johnson.
Uh-huh.
They're looking to book Matt Brown, Donald Cerrone,
oh.
which would be a great fight.
Yeah, yes. Well, anytime that Cerrone gets in there, it's a fun fight.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing with a guy like Cerrone, though, when you miss a fight, you're also missing an opportunity to potentially get one of those bonuses because he's always in the mix for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Always in the mix. And, you know, I got to say, we did lose two fights this week. And I do love how Armando, and we talked about it last week, you know, I was like, I wore a dirty Drew Brees jersey for 10 weeks straight because of that superstition you have as a fan. But I'm sitting here and Armando's yelling, why'd you jinx it? You ruined the entire event. And then yesterday after the weigh-in mishap with Gastelum, he's like, you never allowed to talk again leading up to an event. You screwed this up. Yes, me, sitting alone here in Las Vegas,
yes,
screwed up
$4
billion company's event. But like we said the last week, the superstition in sports, I am responsible.
Can't we drag a couple people from the Manila card over here or something like that since that whole card got scratched?
No. So, Frank, I text my buddy Ed, right? I said, Ed, guess what? Have you heard about Cowboy and Gastelum? No. He sends me back and says, slap Phil right across the face.
I jinxed it. I'm sorry, everyone. It's my fault that the two fights are not happening tonight in the UFC. But let's not forget UFC 205 tonight, 23 years to the day of UFC 1. 23 years to the day. Absolutely outstanding. Biggest UFC card in history. Four current UFC champions, the most there's ever been on a card at once. Three former champions, two former challengers for the title. You've got 17 fighters on the card that are in the top 15 rankings. It's going to be absolutely insane. And let's not forget history in the making, possibly. Conor McGregor, I know he's your biggest fan. You're the biggest fan of Conor McGregor, Armando. But McGregor going for history tonight. Only person in the UFC, if he can do it, to hold two titles simultaneously. Eddie, we saw BJ Penn go for it back at UFC 92 against George St. Pierre. No one's done it. Can Conor do it tonight? We'll find out.
And a real nice mix, too, of weight classes and men's and women's. There's a lot of good women fights on this card as well.
A lot of great women's fights. And speaking of women, in just a couple of minutes, we do have to go to a break, but we will be joined by Heidi Fang live from New York. She's there. She's going to give us the scoop and the rundown on everything that's going down in town.
All right, we'll talk to Heidi next. Here it is, the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you each and every week by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Welcome back, Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you each and every week by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Four locations now, a fifth on the way, and who knows how many more. The empire continues to grow. For all your supplements and nutrition needs, check out Vegas Discount Nutrition. To where a lot of the people, well, when they're in town and not in New York, see a lot of fighters in there, lots of different people.
I've seen guys from Conor McGregor, Shogun Hua, Cyborg, Evan Dunham, seen a lot of them.
Henan Barao.
Yeah, that's right. But enough about who shops at Vegas Discount Nutrition. Right now on the phone, joining us live from New York, from the Review Journal, the MMA videographer, Heidi Fang. How are we doing this morning?
We are waking up, and it's a little bit colder than it's been the rest of the week, so getting used to the New York chill again.
Wow. Wait a second. Waking up, it's like 10 o'clock. It's 10:30 there almost. Come on.
Yeah. I walked around already this morning, had some coffee, you know, had a street bagel. Life is good.
Well, what's the vibe in New York right now?
Well, everyone here is, like, really excited. If you, saw any of the weigh-in yesterday, the ceremonial one, that Madison Square Garden arena was packed. Like, they had it, of course, as they do here in Las Vegas, like, half of the arena was closed off for the weigh-in, you know, so all the fighters could go behind the screen and all. But the parts that they had open were completely filled. People just really in support of Conor McGregor, all out from whether it was Ireland or just very strong Irish-based communities here in New York, came out in throngs. Like, I thought I saw a lot of Irish in Las Vegas, like double that.
Wow. New York is a very large Irish community, so I'm definitely not surprised about that. One question, though, is that this card is phenomenal. On paper, this has got to be the greatest card the UFC has put together. We have lost a few fights this week, but still, it's absolutely insane. Everybody is talking about Conor and Eddie. Is anybody talking about the other two title fights?
Yeah, you know, there is a lot of support here for Joanna Jędrzejczyk and the Karolina Kowalkiewicz fight, so you have the two of them really drawing a lot of cheers as well whenever they are talked about. But interestingly enough, like, Tyron Woodley is strongly booed out here by the public. A lot of fans here in New York have kind of made Wonder Boy an honorary New Yorker of sorts. Wow. So he's trained out with Chris Weidman, in Long Island, and helped him prepare for, like, Machida. I know was one of the fights that he's been training with Weidman, and he's worked out there in Long Island for some time. So having that kind of connection has really brought out a lot of people booing Woodley and cheering on Wonder Boy. So I found that pretty interesting. But there doesn't seem to be as much hype behind the co-main event as there is for the ladies' title fight.
With the ladies' title fight, you mentioned there's a lot of Irish there. Is there a big Polish contingent there, and do they have a favorite? Since this is kind of like, I know Karolina says, you know, that she's the best fighter in Poland, and Joanna says, well, yeah, that's nice. I'm the best fighter in the world.
Yeah, Joanna's definitely taking the edge in that one as far as with the fan base. Every time she comes out, there's nothing but cheers for her, and, you know, people get all excited because she has a way of amping everybody up with her personality and the way that she gets into her opponent's faces and everything. Like, at the first stare down that she had with Karolina, she, like, almost had, you know, she kind of did headbutt her. It was like a push at her forehead, you know, how Joanna likes to get in close and really kind of try to steal the soul of her opponent before the fight. Well, she did that, the first way, I mean, the first stare down that they had at the press conference and pushed Karolina's forehead. So That got a lot of rise out of the crowd watching, and then you had the same type of intensity yesterday at the ceremonial weigh-in. So I would definitely say, as far as the fan base, that Ioana has the edge, but I think a lot of people are very interested in this fight. I haven't seen a lot of the Polish contingent. I have seen, like, one or two flags, but if they are out there in support, they are just being outnumbered by the Irish.
Wow. It's funny. You look at Ioana, and the way she trash talks, she reminds me a lot of McGregor. But the way that she's in there with those weigh-ins and those stare downs, she reminds me a lot of Rousey. Like, she's in your face. She's trying to, like you said, Heidi, steal your soul before the fight even starts.
Heidi. Hi, Heidi. First of all, let me tell you that Phil is responsible for the two fights that were canceled, just to let you know.
Yes, the $4.4 billion company that's owned by half of Hollywood, the one guy, that little guy in Vegas that decided to say that, hey, man, no fights have fallen out. We're in good luck. I ruined the card.
No, I don't think you jinxed it.
Yes, he did. Anyways, a fight on here that's getting no pub whatsoever. It's the main event in the prelims. It's Frankie Edgar and Jeremy Stephens, which on an ordinary card, everybody would be freaking out. Not to mention that Frankie's from New York. I mean, I would think that everybody would be, but it really isn't.
He's from South Jersey. That's actually closer to Philly. He's representing the tri-state. Yeah.
So, I mean, come on. I mean, why is it? There's no heat for it. I mean, nobody's talking about it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it has fallen under a little bit, under the radar. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, so I'm sitting here, I can't wait for this fight, just to figure out, you know, I haven't told Phil my pick yet, just so I don't want to get slugged, but, you know. But at the same token, you know, I'm waiting. I mean, like, I asked a question out loud the other day. It's like, did Frankie get old in the last fight?
I don't think so. When you look at someone like Frankie Edgar, when he goes, backwards like that career-wise, all he does is come fighting back harder. There's no kind of quit in Frankie Edgar. And you put him up against someone like Jeremy Stephens, I mean, this fight is going to be probably
fireworks.
Pretty, like, setting a relentless pace. Yeah. I can see nothing but that.
But nobody's talking about it.
Well, here's the question, Heidi. Does anybody in New York know who the fooj Jeremy Stephens is?
Well said. You're right.
I like what you did there. That was very creative. Jeremy Stephens, there's not a lot of reaction when he comes out. I can say that much. Frankie did get a pretty good pop when he walked out. Jim Miller, interestingly enough, like he walked out too for his fight and then didn't get much of a, like, yeah, you know. And they're both New Jersey guys, so you would think that there would be some sort of base or fan base out here for them. And, you know, they're veterans of the game. But in just comparison to everything else on the card, like Armando said, I think it's just kind of falling under the radar. A lot of people aren't really catching on to, like, the magnitude of all the fights on this card. But, I mean, you mentioned it earlier. It's kind of a disappointment that we lost Rashad Evans versus Tim Kennedy, and then yesterday Thiago Alves giving everybody a scare for that Jim Miller fight, and then of course Donald Cerrone and Kelvin Gastelum. And I don't know if you've already spoke about this, but how the New York Commission has a 5-pound rule.
Yes.
Yeah. And basically, yeah, so if Cerrone hadn't weighed in as early as he did, because the weigh-in time frame that the commission allotted the fighter were from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., so Cerrone weighed in at about 9:30 a.m., came in on the nose, 170. Now, if Kelvin had communicated to Cerrone's camp or to the UFC that he was coming in at 180 and wasn't going to be able to cut any more weight, because what I was hearing was he stopped sweating out the water. You know, there was nothing that his body could deplete any further. He hit 180, and then that was it. So if they knew that he was only at 180, then Cerrone could have came in later, kind of rehydrated, weighed in at 175, and we could have the fight. So, yeah, that's what Cerrone was mainly disappointed about. I can't recall who he spoke with. I want to say it was Ariel Helwani.
More than likely.
But it could have been John Morgan.
Yeah. It's more than likely.
Yeah, so I remember having heard that, And then I asked one of the UFC officials about that myself just to reconfirm it. And they said, yeah, that was an accurate report. So if Gastelum had told Cerrone's camp or the UFC officials that he was at 180 and couldn't cut anymore and Cerrone hadn't already weighed in, Cerrone could have rehydrated, came in at 175, and we could have had a fight. Now, so slightly depressing in retrospect knowing that.
How does that happen? How is Kelvin Gastelum, a guy who, let's be honest, notorious for not making weight? And how does, on the biggest fight card in the history of the UFC, their most important fight card, someone's not checking on him?
Yeah.
You should have to check on him.
You should have to, because that's what I'm talking about. That's where this is, this whole, this Kelvin Gastelum, guys like Charles Oliveira, guys like John Lineker, they need to be let go. They don't need to be fined. They need to be let go. Let them learn their role. Okay? That's their role. They have a contracted weight that they have signed and agreed to meet at. And they don't meet those requirements. They need to be let go. I think, Heidi, here's the thing. I think it, guys like Lineker, what? Oh, I couldn't make 125? I'm not going to make it. So what? I lose 20% of my purse, but I'll be so much fresher than the guy I'm fighting the next night. Don't you think we need more than just a fine?
Yeah, I mean, the Charles Oliveira fight's a prime example of it just happened. And he came in just 9 pounds over. And, you know, that made a big difference in the cage on the night of the fight. You could see it. He just looked like, you know, I don't know, not twice the size, but he looked healthier. He looked bigger. He looked stronger. He looked like he was going through the fight with ease. Now, he did lose the fight to Ricardo Lamas, but when you looked at the two fighters in comparison, you know, when the fight started, you're like, wow, this man is huge right now.
And Charles absolutely dominated that first round.
Until his submission,
Well, and you know, we were talking earlier about what they can do about that, and we had some different thoughts on it. I just thought of something when you were saying that. Maybe guys, once they don't make weight or something like that, guys or gals in the fight business, once you don't make a weight, maybe instead of just doing the weigh-in on that day, you have to check in at certain points or something like that to make sure that you're on goal to make it if you've been a problem and cost yourself and the organization money before.
Which, so you got to basically, like, hold the fighter's hands. Why wasn't someone there saying, listen, Kelvin, I don't want to embarrass you here. I don't want to make you feel like a fool, but you can't do your job, so I have to stand here and baby you and watch you and make sure. You know, like, a picture came out last Saturday of Charles Oliveira sitting at a freaking McDonald's 2 days before the fight.
But their food's healthy now.
They were saying it was an old picture. But who knows?
I don't think it was
last week, so it was old.
It's old now.
It was 7 days ago, not two.
Heidi, there's another big fight on this card. Obviously, we've got the women's championship, the welterweight championship. We've got the lightweight championship with Conor McGregor going for history, looking to be the first guy to hold two title belts in the UFC, two different divisions. But also on the main card, we've got Chris Weidman against Yoel Romero. Chris Weidman, the type of guy the former champion, and Yoel Romero on a tear, obviously just coming off of that slight suspension for testing positive for a banned substance, which, by the way, it came out that it was growth hormone that he was taking, ibutamorin, which is a SARM, which Tom Lawler just got in trouble for, a SARM, and he got, flagged. So I don't understand how Romero's back in there, but Yoel Romero, Chris Weidman, winner. Guaranteed, well, we all know, and I do that in air quotes because we know guaranteed means nothing in the UFC, but guaranteed a title shot.
Yeah, you know, you look at it, and right now with the Rockhold and Jacare fight off, you know, that kind of opens up the door for this one to be the one that determines who the next contender is of that division. Otherwise, I would have said it would have been up in the air when you have Jacare and Rockhold up against each other. Michael Bisping has been doing some of the commentary for Fox Sports 1, so I noticed he is here also. So he's going to get to see firsthand what happens in the possible bout that will bring out the next contender. But you have, you know, Weidman. He hasn't fought in quite some time. Yes. It's been a while for him since he's got back in the cage. He's had like a litany of injuries. So, you know, we all know he was supposed to fight Rockhold back when, but he didn't get that opportunity. And now he's back against Romero, who's like pretty much, you know, even though he's, like you mentioned, Phil, had the suspension and was laid off for some time, he's always a dangerous threat in the cage. But I'm curious to see if he can perform the same, knowing that he has to go in completely clean for this fight, although that's a fallacy too, because he could be doing, you know, whatever he needs to do until a certain time and, you know, hopefully not get caught and all that stuff and on his side. But I would like to believe that he's going into this fight clean and that he learned a lesson, and we shall see how it pans out. But Romero, I've always thought, is one of those guys that gets more dangerous as the fight goes on. Like, it'll be the third round, and that's when he comes alive and just, like, wails down punches on people. So he's always an interesting and intriguing fighter to watch, because he'll come out, you know, swinging in the first round looking for those takedowns, too. So remember, you know, he was an Olympic wrestler, so he can always mix it up on that level. Yeah, and I think, though, that the Weidman's wrestling is more like MMA wrestling. He has the timing for MMA and all that. But when you have, you know, Phil, you always say this, when you have two wrestlers against each other, it usually equals a striking match, right? So we'll see if that's what happens here.
You mentioned that there wasn't a lot of interest or intrigue right now with the Edgar Stevens fight. Is Weidman getting some because he's from New York, or has he been out for such a while that maybe not as big a buzz?
No, New York is behind their own here. He did also have a pretty big following out there yesterday. A lot of the people that were around me on the, like, the first level, kind of the bowl area in MSG, were all standing up and sharing. And he just got, like, the biggest ovation. And as of right now, he's the only true New Yorker on the card. The others have, you know, fallen off. Like, well, Rashad Evans was another one that was on it, and then none of his teammates, Adesara Longo, got on the card, like Aljamain Sterling or Gian Vellante or Ally Quinta. So you had all these guys that they had over the years used to help bring MMA to New York to help push the legalization effort. And then the only one on the card now is Chris Weidman to truly represent New York. So he definitely did get a pop there, and there was a lot of buzz behind him. So it's an intriguing fight, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it. Both of them having been out for so long, it's an interesting division right now. I feel like the contender spot's wide open, and you have about four guys in that division who are all ready to contend for a belt. So this one is going to be a very key fight.
You mentioned Ally Aquinta, and Ally Aquinta, obviously Adesara Longo, notoriety because of The Ultimate Fighter. He was runner-up. He was set to fight on this card, actually. I believe he was set to fight. He was the guy that Jim Miller was set to fight until Thiago Alves came in. But the reason for Ally Aquinta's absence is not an injury. This is actually a contract dispute where he believes he should be paid more money. Do you think, and I can't expect you to know what's going on in Ally Aquinta's head, but after seeing the what I've seen from here, it looks like New York is buzzing over this. How do you think he feels about the fact that, man, I backed out of this, I could be involved with this right now?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, because I did ask Weidman, you know, if he got any kind of feedback from his other teammates, and he said they're looking at it like, well, now since it's legal here, we'll get opportunities, and there will be other fight cards here. They just announced it yesterday that they'll have the fight card in Brooklyn, UFC 209. They already have another card, I believe it's in Buffalo, or is it Albany, where Aljamain Sterling is fighting on that card. So they're starting to have a few fights here lined up for New York, and all in, you know, the 2 to 3 month time frame after this fight card. So I feel like, you know, with those coming in here into town, they have Barclays. I mean, this is MSG. This is much bigger scale compared to going to Barclays or going up to Buffalo. But, you know, I feel like they feel like, okay, we're going to work out this contract thing, and I'll have a chance to fight in New York. So that's kind of an interesting and positive way to look at it now that, you know, they know, like, okay, it's legal here now. I'll get a fight soon. No big deal. You know,
I'm
missing the first one, but I'm going to be there for the long haul. That's what Weidman kind of assessed when I asked him that.
We've kind of covered a lot of these fights here. Is there anything else that's really catching your eye that you're looking forward to on the card tonight?
Definitely Khabib Nurmagomedov and Michael Johnson. Those are the two, I think, that are going to You know, it's interesting because I feel like right now Nurmagomedov is the guy who could be the number one contender, but we have Tony Ferguson who's coming off an impressive win, who right now is in the number one contender spot. But if Khabib can take a win over Michael Johnson, I think that that's one to keep an eye on, because you can, you know, Michael Johnson could steal away where Khabib is, or Khabib could move up and jump, leapfrog over Tony. So the lightweight division is always one of the more competitive in the UFC. It's a shark tank, if you will. And I'm wondering which guy is going to get the next title shot. Will it be Khabib if he wins, or will it be Tony Ferguson? And to me, you know, Phil knows this because I always say it, so I'm like, I think that Tony Ferguson has had a kind of a murderer's row of opponents over his last 9 fights, with the exception of the one short notice replacement, Lando, that he fought. But that was a tough fight for him.
That was a fun fight. That was an amazing,
a couple of times.
That fight was so fun. And last week's match with Tony Ferguson was a lot of fun against Dos Anjos. So, I mean, that's a, like you say, that's a murderer's row right there.
Yeah.
That top 5 in the lightweight division. And I just really quickly, before we let you go, Heidi, because we are up against the clock, I just wanted to know Nurmagomedov's mentality right now. I know he was so furious leading up to this fight because he's the one supposed to be fighting Eddie Alvarez. That was the contract that he believed he signed. So he's saying, you know, he's saying BS on you, UFC. You screwed me over. You used me. Has he gotten over that? Is the eyes on the prize right now on Michael Johnson? Or is he still looking?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's definitely got his eyes focused on Michael Johnson. I did ask him about that, and he was, like, serious about the thing that he said, you know, I'll keep the UFC out of Russia. He's totally serious about that. But he did say he had a positive conversation with Dana White, and he said, look for the news on your Instagram after I beat Michael Johnson. he said he was promised the next title shot by Dana. But like you said, Phil, we'll see how much weight that carries, if that will be something that, in fact, is followed through on. But for now, I think he's just focused on Michael Johnson, getting that win, and then going from there. But be prepared for a big victory speech if he gets the chance, claiming that he's the number one contender, because that's what I would think he's after.
With all the star power on this card, this looks like the card that everybody wished UFC 200 was going to be. But was there even more a buzz around when Ronda Rousey showed up?
You know, there was, and then there wasn't. It was interesting because Ronda didn't stick around to do an interview. It looked like she was supposed to. She came out for the stare-off, and people were excited. And I think they were kind of waiting to see what she would say. Yeah, and she walked off the stage area really quickly, and I saw that, you know, Dana tried to grab her really quick to say, like, hey, you know, you gotta do this, you know, come back here and say something to the fans. But she stormed off the stage, didn't say anything to anyone, and, you know, we got her stare down, and that was it. So I think people felt a little bit deflated after that, like, you know, anticlimactic, like you're expecting something big from Ronda, like making a statement and being bold, like she has been in the past, but you didn't get that. So it left everyone kind of like, you know, what was that? You know, kind of a little bit puzzled.
Maybe she's just acting like a fighter these days.
Ooh.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Well, Heidi, we really appreciate the time. And I really got to say, have a blast tonight. Enjoy history, because that's what you're witnessing.
Yes, I will, and I'll see you soon.
And be sure to bring a crying towel for Adam after the election on Tuesday, because I know he still needs one. So.
Oh wow, yeah, I've been there for him. I've been the shoulder for Adam this week. So,
all right.
You know, heavy is the burden.
He's a big boy, so there are probably some pretty big tears. So.
Right. Yeah,
thanks, Adam.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Bye.
And, thanks. Bye.
All right, we are up against it here. Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. We will be back to go over the card even a little bit more. Of course, the show is brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Stick around. Welcome back. Final go around here. Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. Brought to you each and every week by Vegas Discount Nutrition. And guys, little Volbeat here. It's a Warriors call because lots of Warriors on the docket tonight.
I'm a big fan of Volbeat.
I kind of like them.
I like them a lot too. Good band. They remind me a little bit of Clutch, just not as they're a little heavier. Yeah. But well, I like them.
That's why I figured I'd throw that. I figured it was appropriate for today.
I'm a fan, Frank. I definitely am. And I'm telling you, man, as we are just getting closer and closer, I am so excited for tonight.
Oh, yes.
When I sit here and I tell you this is the biggest card the UFC has ever put on, I am not joking. This is bigger than big. The last time the UFC attempted 3 title fights in one card, do you know the answer to this, Armando?
I do not.
UFC 33. Ah. Why is UFC 33 important to Las Vegas? Because it's the first event they ever held in Vegas. It hit the fan that night. Things did not go well for them. Yes, things did not go well for
them. Fights were bad, yes.
Times, they have a change.
Yeah.
They have a change. I think we have, I'm sure they have allotted enough time for tonight. But let's be honest. What you're looking at tonight, you've got Conor McGregor, who is the biggest star in the UFC right now. Don't shake your head. Don't moan and groan.
No.
Don't do any of it. Or you can. It just doesn't matter because it's the truth.
He is.
Conor is.
Why? Because he's a loudmouth?
He's a loudmouth who puts on the show. That's the thing. You know, he goes out there and he puts on a show. Listen, we've had guys who talk trash and can't back it up. But Conor does. Now, Conor's already been a champion, multi-division champion before. He was the former Cage Rage featherweight champion and the lightweight champion. Then he vacated, came over here. He's been on a tear since. Now he is the featherweight champion, going for the lightweight title tonight. But Eddie Alvarez.
I hope Eddie plants him right in the middle of MSG and leaves him there.
I'm telling you, this fight can go. There's lots of ways this fight can go. If Eddie goes and becomes Reckless Eddie. And Reckless Eddie is the guy that we saw in Dream, the guy that we saw in Bellator against Michael Chandler. Reckless Eddie is the type of guy that's going to take any amount of punishment you can dish out just so that he can hand some back. Against Conor, I don't know if that's going to be a good idea because we've heard he is the hardest punching 145er that's ever stepped into that cage. I'm also hearing he hits really hard at 155. And if you look, he is bigger than Eddie Alvarez. So Eddie Alvarez cannot play that reckless game with Conor McGregor.
Also
he's got to be smart. He's got to wrestle him.
Also has a 5-inch reach.
Yeah, he's got to wrestle. And Conor has got a nasty uppercut and a nasty left hook. He's got to watch out for that. And Eddie cannot be reckless like he was also once he hurt Dos Anjos because that got ugly for a second. Remember him trying to throw a flying knee, fell on his ass, almost got mounted in a tough position. Can't have that happen against Conor McGregor.
All right, we'll see. Because I mean, we know that he's durable. We know he can take a punch. I mean, we know
he certainly can.
Yeah. So I mean,
Conor can too.
Yeah. And we've seen Conor get worked a little on the ground. I mean, Chad Mendes had him a little bit.
Imagine Mendes had a full camp.
Yeah. No.
Okay,
exactly.
That's what you're walking into tonight.
Yeah.
You're walking it, but different weight class. Not having to cut so much, it's going to be interesting. Yes. I'm also, we haven't talked at all about Woodley and Thompson. Stephen Thompson, Wonderboy, who's
fight.
A favorite.
Yes!
Stephen Wonderboy Thompson is a favorite. Lots of people out there thinking that karate's going to beat wrestling. I don't know, though. Woodley, the dynamic athlete.
Woodley seems to take that like a badge of honor or something like that, saying, I'm always going to be the underdog, and that's fine. Just keep on setting him up. I'll keep on knocking him down.
Yeah, right. Everyone called Robbie Lawler the boogeyman. He wasn't scared of the boogeyman. Yeah. Knocked him out. May put him on the shelf forever. I don't know. I don't know if Robbie Lawler's coming back, but, man, tonight's going to be fun.
Alvarez,
rimming everything.
Thompson, Joanna.
We have 20 seconds. I'm really looking forward to the Joanna fight.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, absolutely. And you see Woodley talking to her beforehand? He goes, I never watch a fight before my fight. I'm watching yours.
All right. So you should watch it as well. And, of course, you should tune in every week. For Phil, for Armando, I'm Ballpark Frank. Thanks to Terrence. Thanks to you for listening. Back next week. See you. Bye.